Hello and welcome. And thank you, Brother T. Glad to be back with you here on blogtalkradio.com/course mastery. You can also find us at truethought.org. That's truethought.org. Truethought.org. Glad to be back with you. We're going to be discussing lesson 323 today. And I'm also joined by my beautiful wife, Rev. Renee. Good morning.
Good morning, love.
Thank you for being here, love.
Happy to be here.
Okay. So before we take on this lesson and begin our discussion, let's join together for a brief moment of silence.
I gladly make the sacrifice of fear. As I read this, the word sacrifice is in quotes. I gladly make the sacrifice of fear. Here is the only sacrifice you ask of your beloved son. You ask him to give up all suffering, all sense of loss, all sadness, all anxiety and doubt, and freely let your love come streaming in to his awareness, healing him of pain and giving him your own eternal joy. Such is the sacrifice you ask of me, and one I gladly make. The only cost of restoration of your memory to me for the salvation of the world.
And so we pay the debt we owe to truth, a debt which merely is the letting go of self-deceptions and of images we worshipped falsely. Truth returns to us in wholeness and in joy. We're deceived no longer. Love has now returned to our awareness, and we are at peace again, for fear has gone and only love remains. I gladly make the sacrifice of fear. And so it is. Let's join together for a brief moment of silence again. Let's take a good deep breath. In yesterday's lesson, we discussed the certainty of truth. We discussed the certainty, the profound shift of consciousness that occurs when we realize who we are, God's perfect child. And sacrifice came up in the discussion yesterday, too, is that the only thing we can really sacrifice is our misperceptions, you know. And today, we bring it home even more deeply with using the term, the word fear, because fear is the underpinning of all of the ego construct. Fear of guilt, you know, fear comes before guilt, really, in the sense, it's like two sides of the same coin, fear and guilt. You can't. Jesus tells us that you can't separate fear from guilt and you can't separate guilt from fear. And so it's the double-edged sword that we experienced when we first came into this incarnation, whether it was thousands or millions of years ago, makes no difference. There's no such thing as time. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, that's not something that God created. That's what we created. Mm. When people talk about fearing God, it's ludicrous because God is love. And when people say that, you know, there is no God or whatever, it's like, to me, that's ludicrous as well. Because if somebody tells me, well, I'm an atheist or I'm agnostic or whatever, and you know, I just don't believe in God. And I said, I can understand that, because to believe in the God that we've made up in our own image is also ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. I almost used a bad word. And there's no such thing as a bad word. That's ridiculous too. You know, we do all these things to ourselves in the name of what's right or wrong or good or bad. You know, we constrict ourselves, even in our religions, to extreme limitation of self-expression. Mm-hmm. Right. And this whole concept that, you know, that I don't believe in God can be underpinned completely differently if we look at it from a new place and say, okay, well, do you believe in love? Have you ever been in love? Is there anything that you've ever loved? There's nobody that hasn't experienced love on one level or another. Even egoic love, as insane as that is a grasping and a clinging and a longing perception of love, but it's still this sense of connection and relationship to things or to people. And that is what God is. God is relationship. God is love and the love that we discover and in relationship, because in that we see and fall in love with ourselves. You know, so he really brings it home in this lesson when we say that the only sacrifice is fear, because fear is an illusion. Again, yesterday's lesson, you know, we can only sacrifice illusions, and fear is the underpinning of all illusions. So as we pay the debt we owe to truth, we owe a debt here to be honest with ourselves. Self-honesty is a big deal, and it's one of the trigger points to advancing consciously, is to come to the point of having the courage to be self-honest is a big shift in our conscious vibration. And fear is this piece of the construct of the ego that ultimately we have to completely relinquish. And that's what this lesson is calling us to, that dedication. I gladly make the sacrifice of fear.
I love the idea that paying our debt is letting go of self-deception and the images that we worship falsely. And so I imagine, you know, paying a debt as, you know, paying in some sort of currency, and we're paying in the currency of, you know, that which fear bought or fear gave, you know. So as we enter the doorway, you know, the admission price is to let go of suffering, to pay the price or pay the debt or let go, release suffering and any sense of loss or sadness or anxiety or doubt. All of those things are the currency of fear, and that we receive when we worship falsely. So who isn't ready to let go of pain and suffering? Who isn't ready to give that, to gladly, quote unquote, sacrifice the offspring of fear in order that we may arrive at wholeness and joy? It seems to be so benevolent. It's like, here, give me all of those things that burden you. Give me all of those things that weigh you down, beloved. Give them to me. Carry them no more. Let go of them. You need not carry it anymore. And in exchange, you get yourself, which was all already given, the wholeness and the joy and the love in your identity. Love now returns to our awareness. Peace again has been restored and is the only thing that remains. It's just a beautiful, beautiful exchange. It's just this beautiful exchange. You mention, you know, the teaching to fear God, or that God is a jealous God, and that really how I have come to understand those things, those statements, which were misconstrued and probably misinterpreted, is that, you know, they probably came from something like, beloved, you know, you will suffer if you part from me. You know, it's not that I'm jealous. It's that it will hurt you. It will feel as if it hurts you. It will feel as if you then suffer, because you're trying to separate yourself from me, from something from source, and we are not meant to be apart. You know, fear, if it were at all possible, that, you know, so that's kind of how I requalify those old statements. You know, it's not that God is jealous, it's that we are to have nothing else before God, because it's not good for us. It's not good for our health. It's not good for our well-being, mm-hmm. you know, if that makes any sense.
Sure.
Yeah. So have no false idols before me. No self-deception is really all that is. And so be glad to, quote unquote, pay this price of admission into the restoration of the memory of God. The restoration of the memory that we are as God created us. This is in the section of what is creation. And creation, is God's memory is in our holy minds. Let our only function be only to let this memory return, only to let God's will be done on earth.
Good stuff. Really good stuff. Images we worship falsely, you know, as we're reading that, I just see the body. You know, we really are infatuated with this body we've created to represent this experience of separation. So it's letting go of all of those things, of course. And as our separated self, we can't, because it defines how we've created ourselves to be. We've created ourselves to be something the opposite or different than what God has created us to be. So that self, that mind, can't let those go. That's why the holy instant always comes back around to the primary practice. And as you were sharing I could feel that you were speaking as the Holy Spirit saying, you know, return to me, you know, and that's really what the Holy Spirit is. Nothing more than our right mind, but it's like, you know, we're trying to wake up out of to use a little bit more radical term, a coma.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that we've been, you know, keeping ourselves, you know, and use chemicals to do that. But, you know, we've used mind to do that. We've used mind to keep ourselves in a coma and isolated from all that we are and what our relationship is with God. So this lesson, this sacrifice of fear, you know, letting go of fear, it's a big, big deal. It's a huge deal because, again, fear is something that we use it to keep ourselves safe, to the illusion of being safe as bodies, as forms. So letting go of that idolization of body, letting go of, you know, falsely worshiping what we've created is, and I'm not saying that's easy at all. And I don't think Jesus anywhere here says that it's easy. He's, you know, all of this entire book is a testament to the fact that we are absolutely committed to what we've created, you know, in this game of separation, to keep ourselves deluded and occupied and falsely consumed.
Yeah. So this is asking truly, to me, A Course in Miracles is asking for willingness.
Absolutely.
And the beauty is that we don't have to do it ourselves.
That's right.
That we are gladly willing to offer. You know, we can think of sacrifices, offer it to Holy Spirit, you know, gladly say, okay, this is fear. Okay, this is anxiety. Okay, this is, feels like suffering. Okay, this is doubt. And when those become our little signposts, our little, you know, alerts, danger, danger, Will Rogers, you know, danger, danger. Those are our little alerts to pause. the holy instant and to gladly make the offering. Here's my doubt, God. God, I offer my doubt, you know, make me whole, make me certain, to show me where my certainty is. I offer anxiety, let me feel safe. You know, I don't know how to do that. All that's being asked of me is to be willing to pause and practice this holy instant and to offer it. And then the other piece of it is to be wholly committed, you know, whole like wholeness, wholly committed to this way of life. And in that, we are so assured. All it takes is this willingness and this whole commitment to walk in this direction, and we walk not alone. We have mighty companions. We have our guides. We have Holy Spirit. We have our right mind. We have God, consciousness, the Christ of our being. You know, we are so companioned in this that, and it is actually not possible for us to fail. It truly isn't. We just get to choose when we're going to commit, you know, when we're going to say, okay, I'm all in. There's no turning back. And let today be that day, you know, gladly make the sacrifice, the offer of fear to Holy Spirit, and then allow wholeness and joy to wash over us.
You know? Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, as you're sharing here and expanding on this lesson and teaching, I'm getting that, you know, if we look at our physical health, you know, we say, okay, I'll deal with it and deal with it and deal with it. But then it gets to a certain point where I realize I can't deal with it. And so then we go and surrender our observations and our perceptions about what our physical state is to someone who can help us. We do that with our physical health. We do that with our financial health.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
We do that with our relational life. You know, we go to a counselor if we're having relationships issues, et cetera, et cetera. And we could probably make a list that probably could go on for a while of the different professionals that are out there that ultimately we can say, well, I'm going to deal with it as long as I, you know, we all do that. We deal with it as long as we can. But then when we feel that we're just beyond our capacity, we finally admit we're beyond our capacity to deal with it alone, then we go get some help. And that's really what this is about. And so what is it that we need to recognize that we can't deal with on our own? And it's peace of mind. You know, when we get to the point where we're willing to admit that I cannot construct a world in which I feel safe and sound and protected enough by what I have created that I can truly have peace of mind, the peace that passeth all understanding. If I can't do that, then I'm going to then go get some help with that, okay? And this is where that help lies. That help lies in understanding and knowing truth of who and what we are, really. Way beyond all those other small concerns. Those other concerns ultimately become benign when we realize that this teaching, this surrendering of all of our thoughts, all of our fears to the Holy Spirit, which is nothing more than our right mind, and beginning to realize how actually loved we really are and how safe we always have been, and that there's no possibility of loss in any area, period, 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 except that that's a belief that we mutually agree upon and continue to reinforce here in this experience. So today we surrender, as you suggest in your discussion. I like that concept, and let's surrender our best thinking. Let's surrender our commitment to doing it on our own and join with Spirit. And the holy instant is the way we do that. So I gladly make the sacrifice of fear, because fear sucks. It really does.
Yeah. It's a great teacher until it's not.
Until it's not.
And it's,
what's the
there's
saying
a
you
better
say?
Teacher now.
What's that saying you say? Pain pushes and
until vision pulls. Yeah.
All right. Good stuff. Well, we love you, Mighty Companion. Thank you for being there with us today in this conversation. God bless you. Stay the course. We will return.
Forgive us our illusions, Father, and help us to accept our true relationship with you, in which there are no illusions, and where none can ever enter. Our holiness is yours. What can there be in us that needs forgiveness when yours is perfect? The sleep of forgetfulness is only the unwillingness to remember your forgiveness and your love. Let us not wander into temptation, for the temptation of the Son of God is not your will. And let us receive only what you have given, and accept but this into the minds which you created and which you love. Amen.
I send my love over the mountains. I send my love over the sea. I send my love into the heavens, and it returns.